This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Today on Keeping the Faith, we're talking about education and specifically a program in Champaign-Urbana called Communiversity. And we have two guests in our studio talking about this, Mike Kozar, who's the Communiversity Coordinator. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Becca Guyette, who is the previous program director for the University Y. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mike, tell us a little bit about your connection with education. What have you just started doing recently again?
I'm a school teacher, actually, at the high school level. I began about 7 years ago, and I stopped teaching, and I've recently moved back to the area, and I teach at Eisenhower High School in Decatur, Illinois.
What do you teach?
I teach U.S. history and a course on street law.
And you just began this week again, right?
I did, and you'll notice my voice is a little raspy. I think it's from getting back into the classroom.
Right. So how did it feel to be teaching again at the high school level? It's such a challenge, of course.
You know, I think I'll find it to be a challenge as the year goes along. I enjoy it greatly. Since I taught before, I've done a number of different things, and the thing that I always came back to was the teaching aspect of it. And now that I'm back in the classroom, I'm just finding like all of the exciting possibilities that come with it, and just love it, have fun.
How big are the classes?
I have one class that's as small as 19. Uh-huh. I have another class that's up to 34.
Okay.
And they're all freshmen and juniors.
Now, I forget, how old are our first-year students in high school these days?
14 and 15.
14 and 15.
Yes.
Huh. And where did you teach before?
I taught at Eisenhower. That's where I did my student teaching. I have my degree is from Millikan in Decatur. And after that, I taught at Rockwood Valley Middle School in West County, St. Louis.
And when you were at Millikan, you were studying education and also, of course, history. So you have to know a subject as well as how to teach.
Yes.
And as opposed to college teachers who may not have ever had a course in how to teach.
Right.
How did you find your education courses at Millikan? Were they helpful? Did they really prepare you for the classroom?
I don't think that really anything could prepare you for the classroom other than being in one.
Okay.
Going to school there were a number of different programs in place and different things that we did that prepared us and put us in a simulated setting of a classroom. We had a micro-teaching lab. My professors were all, even though they had their doctorates and they taught at the college level, they were former teachers in elementary, middle school, or high school. And that was very helpful because they could give us tips and things to expect. And, you know, I found my education at Millikan to be pretty fulfilling.
Now, as a young, relatively young teacher, you've had some life experiences, but people from my generation hear about problems in high schools, and what we are most worried about is violence.
Sure.
Is how bad is it?
You know, I haven't been back at Eisenhower very long. I know when I was there before, there were a number of fights and whatnot. As a matter of fact, I was there when Jesse Jackson came to protest a number of kids being expelled for fighting.
Sure.
And, I think that going back to even your college education, you know, they don't really teach you that. A number of people, when they get out of college, I mean, obviously the jobs that they tend to look for are the very well-to-do areas. My two teaching experiences have been a perfect contrast to that. Teaching at Eisenhower, which would be considered an inner-city at-risk school, versus Rockwood Valley Middle School, which is in a very affluent West County area in St. Louis. I could see the former football coach of the Rams' house from my classroom. And what I found is that I prefer to be in the environment where it's a little more risky. You make more of an impact. I I don't know. I find the kids to be very challenging, yet very willing to learn, especially mm-hmm. to the style that I tend to teach in, which is, you know, kind of crazy cooperative learning kind of environment. Mm.
Now, recently you've had some experience teaching outside of the classroom at the Orpheum Children's Museum.
That's right.
Tell us about that.
Well, I was the educational coordinator of the Orpheum Children's Science Museum, and I what we typically did was when kids were in school, they would come on field trips, and they would I would teach them lessons on various subjects in science. Sometimes, you know, they were some of them were a little elementary when it comes to, like, magnets. But, you know, giving kids a basic understanding of that really got me going for wanting to be back into the classroom. When I moved to Champaign, you know, it was in February, and so there weren't any teaching openings per se. And that was perfect for what I wanted to do. It gave me a very good opportunity to get acclimated to teaching again, and I enjoyed it very much.
Now, the Communiversity program at the University of Y has been going on for 30 years or so, offering people an opportunity to teach a class, to take a class, and it's not for credit. It's not something that will ever get you a degree, but you can teach a class in something you're interested in.
Absolutely.
Becca Guyette, as program director at the Y, you helped hire Mike to head up this program. Tell us a little bit about Communiversity. What is it?
Well, it's basically non-credit, non-graded courses that we offer. Started because there was some desire for individuals within the community to take classes, but they couldn't afford university classes, or the university wasn't offering the types of classes they were interested in. We also, at the time, they noticed a need to kind of capitalize on the varied skills of the people in the Champaign-Urbana community, including the campus, because there are so many people who have all types of odd skills and knowledge, and it was the Y seemed like a natural place to offer these courses. So they began, and now it's grown. I mean, the program has changed widely in terms of its size over the years. Right now we focus pretty heavily. We've got some ballroom dance classes. We have martial arts classes, well-being classes, and those are probably some of our biggest. Sometimes we have language classes, both teaching a foreign language and teaching English. So that's sort of where we are with that. Mike seemed like a natural candidate for the position because he was coming from an education background, that it really is the focus of these classes is learning and learning something new. And so that's sort of the beauty of the program, and that's what we always try to stress and encourage is there really is learning taking place here and right within our own community, and you don't have to be necessarily educated in the area that of whatever you're teaching, but that's advertised as well to the individuals who are taking the classes. But we've had great success.
It was a university professor here at the University of Illinois, Steve Douglas, in the political science department, who really pushed for this program 30 years ago in Champaign-Urbana. And I think it's a model for listeners in other places who may be too far away to take advantage of these specific courses here in Champaign-Urbana. But even in small towns, there are people who have hobbies, who have interests, who have knowledge, who know things, and who might be willing to share them with others. If there was some kind of a structure, and perhaps listening to this program today, you'll get some ideas of how you might structure such a thing in your community, perhaps through a park district, perhaps through a religious organization, a church or a mosque or a synagogue, because it really is a great community service, as we've discovered over the last 30 years here in Champaign-Urbana. Let's give some specific examples, and the one I'd like to start with is one of the classes being offered this fall, and we'll mention that they start this one particularly. This one starts in September 16. And the first day of registration is tomorrow. But puppet making and play production. Tell us a little bit about that, Mike, if you would.
Sure. It's a class that's really centered on children. one of the few that we actually have in this session that really is directed at children. But a lot of times, you know, when kids are in class, for instance, you know, they have a lot of ways that they want to be creative. And there aren't really, at that age, at a younger age, more in an elementary level, there's, you know, lack of a, like a theater class, or, you know, it's usually something that, that gets done outside of the classroom. Well, this will give kids a very good opportunity to see how puppets are made, how to put on their own production. And I'm excited for it.
And the class itself will be on Saturdays, starting September 16, from noon till 2 o'clock. Right. So relatively short. How many weeks will it be? Let's see. About 3 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks of Saturdays. And they'll actually, kids will get to help write this puppet play.
They
and
do.
Help...
Yeah, they do. It actually, the first three meetings will focus on the planning and preparing for the performance of the play, and that'll take place on the last day of the workshop.
And this one's being taught by Martha Althea Weber.
She's a graduate student on campus.
Is she? Great. Mm-hmm. Well, what a great experience for the kids, and the parents will get to see the production.
Well, and another great thing about it is it's only $10. And so it's relatively inexpensive, and it's something fun that your children could do on the weekend.
That's for all four workshops as well. So people in this community know that's a deal.
And this will be at the University YMCA on Wright Street, 1001 South Wright Street in Champaign. People who are interested in this course or any others, how do they sign up for it?
Well, they can actually... If you are internet inclined, like most of us are, you can contact me at Communiversity at universityymca.org. Communiversity is spelled Communiversity.
So just Mike at Communiversity. Okay.
Well, actually, it's Communiversity at UniversityYMCA.
Okay.
.org.
A little bit redundant.
you can go to the University YMCA website
and you can
sign up for it there as well.
That's often what most people prefer. It's we take PayPal, and it tends to make things easier. Or you can come into the Y if you're right on campus.
Very good. Let me reintroduce our guest today. Mike Kozar is the coordinator for the Communiversity program here in Champaign-Urbana at the University YMCA. Becca Guyette has been program director of the Y for the last 3 years. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for this program, although Becca has sat in my chair several times when I've been unavailable. So you've heard her voice asking questions as well as giving answers like today. Listeners who'd like to ask a question or make a comment or perhaps suggest a class for the future of other communiversities, we have them each classes. We have classes in the fall and again in the spring and over the summer. Telephone numbers to reach the studio here for this live program, anywhere the program is heard. You may use a toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. Or in Champaign-Urbana, you can access two or three local lines by punching in 333-9455. So in Champaign-Urbana, 333-WILL. Well, let's talk about some of the other classes that are available through Communiversity to give people an idea of the breadth. I think the oddest title in the for this semester is Self-Defense for Women, Men, and Trees. Tell us about that, Mike.
Well, it's looking at language as a form, as an act of self-defense, actually. Against the accelerated propaganda mechanisms that purposely, debase language and thought.
And trees, interesting. It certainly gets your attention. This is taught by Susan Parenti, who has spoken at the Y and is well-known in the local community. This will actually take place at the Independent Media Center in Urbana, 7 to 9 on Wednesdays, starting September 13 through November 15. How to use English in a time of disinformation and misinformation and spin and propaganda. And those who listen to Media Matters here on WILL earlier on Sunday afternoon know about these issues. And Susan Parenti is going to talk about how we can defend ourselves and our planet from the kind of misinformation that's so common in media. So that's an interesting course. This will be quite a professional level course, and the course fee reflects it. It's $80, but we can highly recommend it. Another class that's interesting and also new for CUNY University, I think, is the one on adoption.
Yes.
A lifetime process. Becca, you want to tell us a little bit about this class?
Sure. Well, essentially the idea is that adoption isn't a one-time event that occurs in one's life. That's taken directly from the first line of the description. But that's what the course instructor is. Our course instructors are here to illustrate through this class, and it's sort of a group session for individuals who are in the adoption process and at various levels of the adoption process. They encourage any person who has been touched by adoption to attend. And some of the questions that will be addressed during the three-part series are, what are some of the myths that surround adoption? How have adoptions changed over the years? And how does one face the pain of their personal loss, individuals who themselves are part of the giving in the adoption process. So that's it is a new course, and that's actually held at the University YMCA. It's going to be held three different Wednesdays beginning September 20th, and it's free. So open to anyone who would like to attend.
Part of the movement that CUNY University here in Champaign-Urbana came out of was the free university concept that really started, I guess, in Berkeley, California, back in this late 60s, early 70s. And it's an interesting ethical idea that sharing is what education is, basically. And I'm quoting Parker Palmer when I say that. But it really gets at the notion that sharing information, sharing enthusiasm, sharing insights, sharing a point of view is so central to education. And that's, yes, sometimes it's something you pay tuition for, and other times it's something free that people just share out of the goodness of their hearts. But even if you're paying for it, the people who are providing the service maybe need to make a living, and that's why they become a professor or, like you, a high school teacher. But the best teachers are the ones who have that passion. You know, mm-hmm. who really
Absolutely.
Care about what they're doing, care about the subject matter, care about the people, the relationship.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. And that's one of the things, having observed this program now for over 3 years, that I find so fascinating about CUNY University is that each of our professors, this is something they're doing on their own time, typically outside of their full-time profession, and they care so much, and they're so passionate. It's sort of funny sometimes when we're doing room assignments or this or that, and they often feel that, like university professors doing research, that area of expertise is the most important, and so excited to share it. But they view it as such a it's sort of a holistic process in terms of from beginning to end, and that's why I love sitting in on the classes and watching even our martial arts classes. This isn't just about the kind of martial arts that people typically think of, violent type martial arts. Some of them incorporate dance. All of them incorporate self-confidence and fitness and well-being. And so I think that's probably one of the most interesting aspects of this CUNY University program, and why I personally over the years have come to hold it in such high regard, is because I do see the range of students and age and background and socioeconomic status and ethnic background who come through our program and who attend and take part in our classes, and it really is something that stays with them forever.
In this case, this semester, we have 32 different classes, and again, people who want to see the whole catalog can do that online by going to universityymca.org, and then looking for Communiversity, the link. They can also pick up printed catalogs. How are they distributed? They're available at the University YMCA, of course, at 1001 South Wright. Where else?
Actually, they're going to be placed in a number of different locations throughout the cities, not just on campus. They'll be very accessible on campus. However, there'll be places like in downtown Champaign, a number of different coffee shops.
Hospitals.
Libraries.
Yeah, a number of different places.
So watch for the catalog. It has a picture of the Y building. It says Fall 206 University Course Catalog Non-Credit Classes, Arts, Crafts, Dance, Exercise, Language, Music, Skills, Social Issues, Special Interests.
In fact, this semester we weren't able to have a language class. If someone either has suggestion for or would like to teach a language class next semester, we encourage that. We also encourage people who are willing to have some catalogs dropped off at either their business or their place of work. We're happy to do that as well, and you can do that by calling the University Y. I believe on our website, the link is also listed as non-credit, non-graded courses, especially for people who weren't familiar with the program, and that kind of gives them an insight into what they're going to be looking at.
I might just mention that the free class we just mentioned on adoption, a lifetime process, is taught by Sally Anderson and Kathy Colbert. Kathy is a licensed clinical social worker, and Sally is also a licensed local therapist. So these are people who know what they're doing, and it should be a fascinating course. Again, that starts September 20, 27, and October 4 on Wednesdays at 7 at night at the University Y. Starting your own small business, storytelling for art and life. These are some of the other classes that CommUniversity will be offering this fall. There's an interesting one in the category of religion and spirituality, which is one of the, of course, main interests of this Keeping the Faith program. 10 Poems to Set You Free, Discovering the Beauty and Power of Poetry for Your Life, taught by Tom Neufer Emsweiler, a Methodist pastor. A 5-week course and some fascinating poems by such famous thinkers as Thomas Merton, Rumi, Mary Oliver, Anna Sweer. This class will cost only $10, and it'll be at Grace United Methodist Church on Philo Road on Tuesdays. This is a daytime class, 1:30 to 3 on Tuesdays, starting October 3rd through the 31st, and also at New Covenant Fellowship in the evening from 7 to 8:30 on Thursdays, starting October 5th. So that same class on 10 Poems to Set You Free by Reverend Tom Neufer Emsweiler will be leading that class, studying many interesting poets offered afternoon or evening. So contact the Y if you're interested in that course. Again, a course fee of $15, materials fee $10. I misread that the first time. So the course's total will be $25 for the various materials, books, copies of the poems, and the course fee.
That class is actually based on a book called 10 Poems to Set You Free. It's by Roger Housden. And I believe that the materials fee will cover the book.
The book, okay.
And so you'll get to keep that as well at the end of the course.
Great. Appreciate that.
Many people are familiar with our dance classes, and it's important to note I've been getting a lot of phone calls and emails asking, when do dance classes begin? The Y's been offering ballroom dance classes since, actually I think even before the CommUniversity program began, but at least since then. And this year we've got a situation where we're not beginning our dance classes until the middle of October. Many of you know our dance instructor, Ms. Aurora Villacorta, who is a retired professor professor from the university's Department of Dance also. She's recently had a knee replacement surgery as a result, some might say, of her many, many years of wonderful dancing. So while she recuperates, we'll take a hiatus for the session one of her classes, and we'll begin October 16th. And she'll be right back at it, teaching her beginning ballroom dance, intermediate ballroom dance. She teaches a special class of tango and another special class of mambo, merengue, and salsa.
I saw Miss V, as she's familiarly known by many in the community, after her knee replacement surgery. And although at the time I saw her, her knee was up suspended above her bed, her mind was already excited about these classes, and mm-hmm. she's eager to get back. And she was going to be walking, she told me that day even, starting her exercise program, so she'd be back ready to teach. Those of you who know Miss V know her great spirit and how positive she is, and the positive influence she's had on so many people over the years, teaching couples to dance for their weddings and all sorts of things in addition to these ballroom dancing classes at the university. So again, they'll be starting in October 16, which is a bit later than we usually do in the fall, but she's worth waiting for. So,
absolutely.
Miss V, if you're listening, speedy recovery, and we look forward to seeing you in October teaching again. There are also cooking classes have been traditional at the Y. Tell us about cooking, Mike.
Well, I'll tell you, this session, there's a class on cooking more healthy foods in a simple manner. It's actually going to be it's only open to the first 10 registrants, so there is a limit as to how many people can be in there. But you know, in our world, in our society right now, with the way things are, you know, we try and find food as quickly as possible when we can even find a chance to do that. This gives a very good I don't know, sort of
a method.
Method, yeah, right, to teach people how to cook quickly but healthy.
Mike, for people who are listening in, say, Indiana, too far away, or northern Illinois up near Chicago, wherever they're listening to this program, who might like to start a program like this in their community, how did you find these people to teach these classes that are so diverse?
You know, I think that when... In the case of Communiversity, it's been around for quite a while. It's garnered a bit of a reputation. I obviously wasn't here when it first started, and I would probably have to guess that this has been a continuing process. It's probably started with one or two people or one entity and built it gradually over the course of a number of years.
And when you put out the call for teachers and advertised and said, if you would like to teach a class... Do you screen them at all? Do you try to? How do you decide who gets to teach and who doesn't?
You know, we actually look at resumes as well.
Okay.
We take a look at their pedigree, at how qualified they are to teach the class. We take a pretty in-depth look at the substance behind what's going to be taught.
Okay.
And I think that's important. I think that you could put on a program. Because you're interested in it, but really not be prepared to teach it and it be a failure. Mm-hmm. And I think even in some of these smaller towns, like what you were saying, or for places that are further away that don't have this program going right now, I think that's one of the most important things to maintain it, is to make sure that the teachers are valid, that there's a need in the community for that particular class, and that it's well done.
Clark Brooks is one of the longtime teachers in Communiversity, and one of the classes he teaches every year is photography. And this year he's offering photography for beginners. Four basic principles of photography: composition, exposure, content. He says students will learn many tricks and tips used by professional photographers to create wonderful images of their own. For $40, let's see.
Which is a bargain for an expert like Clark.
That's right. A professional photographer who's well known for his wonderful work. Mondays from 4 to 5:30, starting September 11. Wednesdays, 4 to 5:30, starting September 13. So, photography for beginners.
And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, I think this one is very, you know, valid for our community, you know, with the rise of people doing their, you know, taking pictures and developing things at home, and even the age of the computer and the growth of just individual photographers. I think that this class will be very beneficial and helpful.
So many more people are seem to be taking photographs and even making almost a profession out of it on the side.
Absolutely.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I love doing that.
We're about halfway through our program here on Keeping the Faith. Let me reintroduce our guests. We're talking with Becca Guyatt, who's been the program director at the Y for the last 3 years and oversees the Communiversity Program. The actual coordinator for the program starting this fall is new to this position, but has been in education for a long time, and is currently teaching history at Eisenhower High School in Decatur again. Mike Kozar is the coordinator for Communiversity. So if you have questions, call the Y, 337-1500. That's in area code 217 during the week. And if they're not in, leave a message and they'll get back to you. Questions about Communiversity, or go to the website universityymca.org, and then you'll look for these non-credit courses and see the whole list of all 32 of them. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. If listeners have a comment or question, do give us a call in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Elsewhere, toll-free, 1-800-222-9455. And incidentally, that toll-free number can be used by people who are listening on the Internet. These programs are archived and are available at will.uiuc.edu. If you missed part of this program, you can check it out there. You can also look at past programs just by going to AM 580 and looking for Keeping the Faith. Keeping the Faith programs are supported in part by the University YMCA, where I'm the executive director. The Y is the oldest charity in the Champaign County area. We've been in existence 133 years, providing opportunities for social action and community service for students, faculty, staff at the University of Illinois, and people in the community as well.
Our student board actually happens to be the oldest student organization on campus.
On campus. Oldest continuous one, that's right. There were a couple fraternities that started the year before we began, but they were kicked off campus in the 1890s for a while. But the Y has stayed active all these decades and over a century and a third now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the way the Y's is supported is by a vehicle donation program. If listeners have a car, a van, a truck, a motorcycle,
a boat
on a trailer, anything that's registered, titled, and is movable. We hope you donate things that run, please. We are happy to accept these things, and we sell them ourselves, often to students, often to grad students who need cheap transportation. But we also have had some very nice high-end vehicles donated that help us keep our programs going when we sell them. So you can get a charitable deduction on your income tax by donating to the Y. We are a 501c3 charity. The Y benefits, and the people who buy these vehicles also get a bargain. So if you're interested in donating a vehicle, do call me, Steve Shoemaker, at the Y, 217-337-1500. The vehicle donation program has been going on for several years, and We're quite efficient at it, and it helps you and helps the Y and helps others. One of our programs that also has been recycling things very effectively has been Dump and Run. Becca, you've just finished that yesterday. How do you feel?
Well, I've only dozed off a few times while this program's been on air, so that's if that's any indication. No, it was a greatly successful program. We're so excited. Of course, we're always excited to see it completed with the amount of work that goes into it, but we were just so excited to see it happen. It's absolutely critical with the amount of consumerism that's taking place in society right now and the items that unnecessarily go into the waste stream. We've been able to keep those items out. So it just began as a program of recycling items and continues on then as a fundraiser. It's sort of a two-step process where we collect items in May as the students are leaving and the community is wonderfully generous and bringing items, very good items, to us. And the staff and volunteers, a few of whom I'll mention in a bit, have been fabulous at spending their time and going through items and sorting and being diligent about what can be used, what can't be used, what can't be used by us. We donate to other organizations. We store those items during the summer, and then we have a large garage sale. I guess we can call it a pavilion sale almost, as the Y has – it's outgrown the Y, and it now takes place at the university's stock pavilion on campus. So,
which is a huge arena, and we fill it literally from top to bottom, and with furniture and clothes and televisions and computers. And we had this year a kiln for potters and a potter's wheel, and we had bicycles and all. We just had so many things. And the people who come to the sale, many are students, and we're co-sponsored by the office on the university campus of International Student Services, Student and Scholar Services. So we had literally hundreds of international students who were able to outfit their whole apartments because of their these things that had been donated by community folks and other students in the spring. And it was great to see their faces as they were able to buy a couch for $15 and a bed for $4.
I have an instance I kept in mind just because it was so fascinating. It was a graduate student. If individuals volunteer for us for 4 hours before the sale, they're able to shop early. And this individual got wind of that and came and helped. And Steve is often generous with his brother's truck and doing deliveries for us, and which we should publicly thank David Shoemaker and the Ridge Road Tree Farm for letting the University Y use. But we he got a futon with a mattress. He got two kitchen chairs, a kitchen table, a couch, a rocking chair, a couple of small appliances and some waste baskets and things like that. Another mattress and another chair, I believe. And
all for under $100.
For $100. We gave it to him for $100 flat, and that was with it being delivered. And it was loaded up and delivered for him. He came back a few days later and got a bicycle for, I think we agreed on $30 maybe, to really a very nice bicycle, and was so gracious. And I mean, he did us a favor as well by moving things out for us. But
he worked hard for his 4 hours.
He certainly did.
Volunteer time. But his case was interesting because he was a grad student who had planned to go to Israel to do research this year, and because of the war there, was not able to do that. But he'd already sold all his furniture from his apartment. And he was able to restock his whole apartment for $100.
So I was wondering as she was going through that if the apartment came with it as well.
Yeah.
We would if we could.
But we had many smiling faces as people got some great bargains. And we do have many people in the community to thank, all who donated items, all the volunteers from the Y and from the university and from the community, people from the local Kiwanis Club, people from Lincoln's Challenge, who we had four different groups from Lincoln's Challenge who unloaded these huge semi-trailers. And talk about the people who worked hard and all they got was thanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really did a community service.
Maybe a donut if we could.
Right. But that's something that's that some young people who've been in trouble with the law, who are in a special program to try to learn self-discipline, and who will come and work really hard for that long of a time doing something for somebody else. It teaches them a great lesson experientially. And they also see people that are working side by side with a university professor or with a secretary at the university or mm-hmm. with someone who's a retired a librarian.
Or in one instance, we had a university student working next to the vice president of the university for administration. I said, she said, he's a good buddy to work next to. I said, do you know who that is? And so we do. We have some wonderful volunteers that come in, a special thanks to our outgoing and incoming Board of Governors chairs at the university-wide, Jeff Merritt and Willard Broom, who were with us from they stuck with the staff from beginning to end in terms of volunteer hours and helping us set up and helping us take down and just the entire process, letting us use their vehicles and just true definition of servant leaders. And so we're just so grateful because certainly the program couldn't be done without our volunteer help. This Sigma Phi Epsilon gentleman on campus received an emergency call and they came in and helped us move some furniture and set up some tables and just everyone. And just was so wonderful to us, past University YMCA staff and current University YMCA student leaders. Just everyone really pitches in. And that's the other beauty of this program. My parents were down and for the weekend and they just said for the sale and they are just blown away by all the people who are willing to give their time and energy to make this a success. But there's an important message sent, and that's concern for the environment and concern for others in terms of why we have this program.
And in terms of cleanup, after so many things are sold, there's still some things that get broken, some things that are even too odd for our clients to take. And we do have a lot of cleanup at the end. And we were very fortunate to have, because of Amy Sponsler and the program at the university for volunteer projects, there were how many freshmen who volunteered?
We had yesterday we had about in total we had about 35 freshman students who came in with a new program that the Office of Volunteer Projects is running called Community Connection. And it, as soon as freshmen get on campus, this is their first opportunity to get connected in the community with volunteer service. So they're at various social service agencies, community organizations throughout Champaign-Urbana, and they're first-year students having just arrived. And so we explain to them why we do this program, the benefit of this program. One of the things I talk to them about is responsible consumerism in terms of getting rid of their products and allowing other people to reuse them. I hope they remember us in May when they're moving out and can't fit that fan into their parents' vehicle. But so that's we were just so grateful. We couldn't have done it yesterday in terms of cleanup. They really helped us out. And unfortunately, some items still get thrown out. And we try to encourage a community through FreeCycle, through Craigslist, to come to the Stock Pavilion after the sale was over and take what they wanted. And some people fortunately did. And some of them took things that they intended to distribute themselves, because that's another thing that we are short on in terms of staff help and resources. We can't distribute items to as many places as we'd like to. So thank you to all the people who were there yesterday helping us clean out. A gentleman came with a pickup truck and had a 30-mile drive ahead of him, but had that pickup truck stocked to the brim with items so we didn't have to toss them at the end of the sale.
There were also local organizations, restaurants, who provided our volunteers who were working 8, 10, 12-hour days getting ready for this sale, carrying tables, carrying things, who provided food for lunch and for dinner. Papa Del's Pizza, for example.
Papa John's Pizza.
And Subway. It was Papa Del's that I particularly remember yesterday.
the deep dish certainly came in. It was very welcomed yesterday on our 14th day in the Stock Pavilion. We had Papa Del's, Subway, Papa John's.
Subway sandwiches.
Y Thai Eatery. Of course, Miri at the University Y is always so generous and sends over fried rice and pad thai for us.
And there's great lunches available at the Y each noon during school year, Monday through Friday at the Y Eatery. Great Thai food.
Mm-hmm. And so so we're very gracious. We had a few donations also. AbsoPure donated water for our volunteers. And so we just appreciate everyone so much because it really is a community program. And we just hope that people can come in. If you didn't, even if you don't need anything or you haven't donated anything, it's really neat to just see, to see this happen and to see these products and these be used and be purchased. And we sell things so inexpensively because they are a price for students. And we have so much stuff, we can still make a great profit for the university. Why, even at selling things at very reasonable prices.
Let's talk a little bit more about some of the classes at CUNY University, because we wanted to talk about education, and in this case, education that's free or almost free. We've not talked about some of the martial arts. What is capoeira?
Capoeira is a Brazilian martial art, and it incorporates elements of dance and music. It's a little bit different than what you would typically think of with martial arts.
And it comes from Brazil, and I've never done this myself at all. It's new to me, but just watching the people do some of those amazing exercises, it obviously keeps you very physically fit. It requires balance and strength and grace. It's lovely to see. I think I'm too old to try it, but
well, we'd need to have some personnel on hand if we decided to do an example with our trustee leader here. But it's fascinating and it's wildly popular. There's a capoeira club. It's actually pronounced capoeira club on campus, and so. Began there, and now they practice at the Y, and they the instructor, Dennis Chiarmante, is actually an expert, I think it's actually called capoeira, from Brazil himself, and just got back. He was doing some training over there and some teaching as well, and he is fascinating. He and his wife are wonderful, and they have a great following here, and they really encourage leadership among their students. And so I've seen several students begin, and now they themselves are helping to teach. They've got a children's class this year, and so they go from all levels and ages.
You can pick up a catalog about CUNY University and this class on capoeira at the University YMCA. You can also find it online at universityymca.org. Several classes, Monday and Wednesday, Tuesday and Thursday, a special children's course as well. Clark Brooks has taught karate for kids, and he's just wonderful working with children age 6 to 13, a fun approach to exercise, self-defense, the sport of karate. Helps kids' confidence, self-discipline, coordination skills. He's taught it at the Y for many, many years and is an excellent teacher of karate for kids. $32, 6 o'clock, Monday and Wednesdays starting September 11. Just tell us the names of some of the other martial arts that are available this semester, if you would.
Well, there's beginning Kenpo, karate, and there is also ninjutsu. I believe that might be a new course. I didn't see it in any of the previous mm-hmm. brochures.
Eric Serber is going to be teaching that.
That's right. And there are a couple others.
Shuriru Karate is a class that's being taught by Nate England. This is the second semester now that they've been having a class with the University Y. Again, another very successful class. Some of their participants, I believe, practiced at the Y this summer and was really successful. Alan Creech has been teaching for us for quite a while. He teaches Kyojute Ru Kempo, which is a comprehensive martial art composed of karate, judo, aiki, jujutsu, and other traditional Okinawan weapons trainings. Novices and practitioners of all experience levels are welcome. They're members of the Christian Martial Arts Association as well. And Alan is a very fine teacher. Like I said, he's been having classes at the University Y at least the entire time I've been there, and I think a bit longer as well. So one of our instructors, veteran instructors that have been with us for a while, and in another very, very popular class.
And Clark Brooks is also teaching Kempo Karate for adults. That's $35 Monday and Wednesdays at 7 o'clock starting September 11. And then there's a whole category just called well-being, classes in well-being. What are some of the things offered this semester in that?
There are a variety of homeopathy courses, from first aid just to an intro, if you're not familiar with it. And also there's an intro for colds and flus as well. And that's all taught by a woman named Barbara Anistel, all three of those. They take place, I think she's trying out one of the classes in the morning. It begins, it's on September 15th, and it's just a one-day course. It's only $15, but it's from 10:30 in the morning till 12:30.
And I notice we have beginning yoga, this time taught by Ann Donovan, 8 o'clock, Mondays, starting September 25th, $40.
And that's in the morning at Channing Murray Foundation.
Uh-huh. And there's a meditation circle that will also be at Channing Murray. Basic meditation training will be at the Independent Media Center starting Friday, November 10.
That one will actually run for 2 days. I believe they're 3 hours each day. It's okay. A Friday and Saturday.
And Oi Gong for Wellness will be offered on Sunday and Thursday, September 17 through November 19.
That's actually taught. It's pronounced Qigong. It's taught
Qigong.
By Wei Mo Zhu. He's a PhD and Nyi Kai. That's at the University of Hawaii. And that was a new class last semester. And again, it's been very, very successful.
We're talking about classes that are available through CommUniversity, organized by the University YMCA. They've been going on about 30 years. And Becca Guyette, our program director at the Y, has been overseeing these programs for the last 3 years. And Mike Kozar is our new CommUniversity coordinator starting this September. He is a teacher at Eisenhower High School, teaches history there as a graduate of Millikan University. The Y also has educational programs for adults on a weekly basis called Friday Forum. And this semester, Friday Forum is focusing on environmental issues for all of its noon lecture series. Becca, could you tell us a little bit about what's coming up this fall at the Y?
Sure. Those of you who subscribed to Time know a few months ago they had a big article about what's going on environmentally in our world. And that's something that a lot of people are concerned about, especially a lot of people in this community. As many of you know, Students for Environmental Concerns, which is the oldest student organization, environmental organization on campus, has been housed at the Y for many years, almost 40 years now. They've been housed at the Y, and at their president last year, Joe Tang, who is now current student board president of the University Y, served on our Friday Forum Committee and really encouraged an entire lecture series based on what's going on with the environment. That led to this semester's series entitled What on Earth Are We Doing? Prospects for a Healthy Planet. We have a fabulous lineup that I personally am incredibly excited about. It begins September 8th, so just about a week and a half away, with a talk entitled Global Warming, Are We Reaching Political, and in quotations, Tipping Point. The speaker is Robert Cox, who many of you know. He's the former president of the Sierra Club and current professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. His talk is described as, his description reads, among credible scientists, the debate over global warming is over. But even as climate change accelerates, U.S. political leaders lack the political will to respond. He'll talk about why that is, and we go on to have Bill Sullivan from the UIUC Environmental Council and others on campus, so I encourage people to visit our website.
And we have a caller on our toll-free line, line 4. Go ahead.
Yes, Steve, I enjoy the program. I live about a half a mile from the landfill in Vermilion County, and we receive all of the waste products from Champaign because Champaign County does not have a landfill. Do you have any comment on why or if that could ever be addressed later where Champaign could get their own? Thank you.
Well, that's an important environmental question. I don't think any of us in the studio today probably are qualified to answer that, although I did serve on the county board for a couple years. I'm not on it now. the various cities, as you know, the municipalities produce most of that waste, and in Champaign County, it's mainly Champaign-Urbana, as you know, that produces the huge quantities of waste. It is very expensive to dispose of it and very difficult to find ways to do it safely and in a cost-efficient way. I'll make a note of that to make that a topic of a conversation on this program in the weeks ahead. I'll have to tell listeners, though, we already are booked almost through the month of November with topics that have been suggested by others. So it may take me a while, but maybe in 07, but I'll make a note of that, and thank you very much for that suggestion. Becca, who else is speaking at the Y as part of this environmental focus?
Sure. One of the things I want to mention and sort of address what that caller just said, and one of the things that comes up through Dump and Run and will likely come up at our Friday Forum lecture series this semester, is that this environmental issue is a moral and ethical issue, I believe. You know, the choices that people make every day, whether to throw away or recycle something, is an ethical issue. And so I think that's important for people to consider. Bill Sullivan on September 15th is followed by Zsuzsa Gillet. She's an assistant professor in the Department of Sociology, who's going to be talking about nature and rights. She talks about the sociology behind environmentalism. The Rainforest Action Network, the National Rainforest Action Network, will be visiting September 29th and talking about how corporate campaigning can save the world. Katrin Klingenberg, who's executive director of the Ecological Construction Laboratory, is going to be talking on October 6th about ecological design as the essence of sustainability.
We have time only for you to tell us who is the first speaker for Know Your University that starts up on a Tuesday noon.
The Graduate Employees Union will kick off Know Your University Tuesday, September 12th at 12 noon, and they'll be talking about their recent negotiations with the University of Illinois administration and for graduate students' rights on campus as they have recently unionized.
Thank you very much. I want to thank our guests, Becca and Mike, for being on the program today and telling us about some of the educational opportunities here locally, and hope that's an example for those in other communities. Coming up on Keeping the Faith next week, we'll be playing an archive program from last March, The Life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That'll be on September 3rd here, Sunday night at 5 on Keeping the Faith. September 10, the program will feature Tim Holder talking about a hip-hop mass that was developed in South Bronx. I'm Steve Shoemaker. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Right after the terrorist attacks of 9/11, Graydon Carter, editor of Vanity Fair magazine, declared irony is dead. Only a few months later, Carter said with a nudge and a wink, "I meant ironing is dead, not irony." I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, we'll look at the rise of the age of irony. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana. AM 580 has a listener comment line. If you'd like to comment on something you hear on the Information Advantage, call 217-333-0853 and leave a message. That's 217-333-0853. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, occasional showers and thunderstorms. The low in the upper 60s with light winds becoming northeast around 10 miles per hour after midnight. Tomorrow, occasional showers and thunderstorms. The high in the mid-70s with east winds around 10 miles per hour in the morning becoming light. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low in the lower 60s with north winds around 10 miles per hour. It's 6 p.m. This American Life is next.